everyone. You love the music, now be a part of the movement. Press Play is building a home for artists and fans just like you, and now you can help shape it. All you gotta do is go to pressplay.me and grab you some merch and wear it really loud and really proud, and of course, buy it for everybody you know. And know that you're helping musicians and music stay real, independent, and alive. And here's something really special. You can send a personal message to the artist of your choice. If we've done an interview with them, you have an opportunity to write them a note. You can write them a small message, or you can write them a whole letter, and it will go directly to them. Just click the link on any of our interviews, write from the heart, and let your voice be heard. So tune in, rock with us, and press play. Get the gear, send the love. Music lives when the fans do.
Everybody, welcome to Press Play Conversations. I'm Adon, as always, and Tina, our CEO.
Hello, everyone.
It's the Beauty and the Beast version of this, and you know what I am, the Beast, right? Anyway, we're happy here to have Autumn Academy here. How are you guys?
Very good. How are you?
Thanks for having them.
Great, man. How this happened is Tina found you guys on TikTok. She sent it to me. I deep dive through, and that's me. I listened to all the songs. And when I was going through all your songs, I was telling Brandon Jose before that I listen for songs that affect me and give me goosebumps or moments in a song. And I obviously there were five that did that for me. So I figured I'm going to come right in. Guys, and play the first song. We'll talk about it, and I want to do that. I love this song, Comfortable Grave, and you'll hear why, everybody, when I play this. It's and then just four more after this that are even better. They just keep getting better and better. So here we go. Here is Comfortable Grave. Oop. People can't tell why I love that song. You're nuts. You know what? That one part right there is one of those things that I loved about pop punk, that like Newfound Glory, which is one of my favorite bands, is that thing, like you go from this kind of halftime there and then you go to this kind of pop punk thing there. And I love that. And obviously that's one of your earlier songs, but talk about when you listen back to an older track, do you ever sit there and go, boy, I'd love to redo it or kind of do another version of it? Or are you happy with what's there? Because, I mean, I love what I heard, but do you ever kind of want to retinker with things you've done before?
Man, of course. Yes. As an artist.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a time capsule, you know, listening back to it. We don't really listen to our songs too much. We listen to it enough when we're writing it, recording it. Everything right. And promoting it. By the time we get through that, those phases, we're like, all right, not going to do it anymore. We play it live enough. We know how it goes. It's fine. But listening back to that song, I haven't listened to that forever. That's super cool that you brought this up. This is super fun. Yeah, listening to it now, I'm like, man, like there are some things that we know now that like we could spice it up a little bit, little changes here and there. We're better musicians now, I hope. So like there's like just little things trickle all throughout. They were like, man, that could be cool, but you right. know.
Well, it shows the growth. Like that's what I want to show here. And I think when you go back through chronological order from reverse, you can hear a growth that we're going to hear as we progress. And my God, you know, the next tracks show that. And one other question for Jose, you know, and as we get further along, your drums, like the percussion, do you, engineering is a big part. It never gets said enough in the recording process of the role of an engineer or a producer. Right now, miking the drums is like a big thing for me. When I hear drums properly mic'd, I go nuts. Do you have that same thing? Do you spend time just worrying about how the mics are set up? Because that's a big deal for me.
I mean, I guess it kind of depends on where we're at, right? When you're at, I don't really, it's different, you know, when you're engineering, you know, that's probably the most, probably what type of mics you're using, where they're going to be. From a drummer, I mean, if I'm in ear, a lot of the times it's the click. I don't even hear myself play. Mm. So for me, it's like, you know, as long as I'm here to this, mm-hmm. like, you got to make me sound good out there, buddy. yeah, I mean, I imagine from an engineer's perspective, yeah, what kind of mics you use and stuff like that is mm-hmm. beneficial. Where you're putting it, I know that there's a lot of angles and in the closeness to the tom head or to the batter head and just kind of that placement and how much of that's going to affect the sound. But for me personally, I think live is where it's kind of like, it depends really, because when you're in the studio, you're studio recording. So you're really not going to beat your drums probably too much. But when you're live, like you're really going to hammer on it. So I think there's a little bit more, maybe more leniency with it, I think, and not being so strict.
I was going to say, have any of you guys, before I turn it over to Tina here, have any of you guys wanted to fight with the sound guy ever at one of the venues? Because
we're not going to talk about it.
I got a few sound guys on the top of my head right now.
Yeah. It's always, whenever you're at a venue and you watch it, it is an angsty thing. Like, people are kind of drinking beer, they're not paying attention, where I'm watching, like, I was at a show the other night, and this guy, the guy on the drums, is just, he's hitting the kick and he's looking at the sound guard. He's like, you want to see him just, he wants to flip the sound guy so bad. Like, as he's hitting the kick, like, come on. But he's hitting his ears. It was just so funny to watch, where nobody else is paying attention. And I'm just watching this thing, and I can just see you guys want to come to blows, I think, sometimes with the sound guy.
So bad.
Yeah, it can be really bad. It sucks. It sucks because it's like, I'm sure a lot of the sound guys who are, you know, who get assigned to this task, one way or another, have a lot of confidence in how it's going to go, right? But even the most technical difficulties sometimes can be an issue, and I think sometimes the way that they handle it is it represents kind of who they are as a sound guy, you know. I mean, I'll just give you one brief one recently. This was one for me. I don't usually complain about the sound guys as much, mainly because, like, I don't know. I mean, and we really don't even complain about the sound guys. We're just like, damn, that really kind of sucked, dude. And then that's kind of the end of it, you know, and then we have a story to tell. But for me recently, it was just, I had my in-ears in, and the sound guy had the subwoofer to the left of me, and then he had one of the speakers facing me, right? So, which was fine, because my in-ears, they're noise canceling, so it's going to be okay. And the power blew on one side on the stage, and when it did, because I had my monitors plugged into the one of the outlets that the power went out on, blew my right in-ear. Blew it completely. So fried. So my left ear was the only thing, right? Where's the subwoofer and speaker? Left side of my head. Couldn't hear anything coming out of here.
My God.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know if it was just like, you know, power, you know, however the power was kind of circuited there and how much was on one side versus the other. But the way he handled
it. You're bringing a UPS on stage with you now, like a
I told him before, I was like, face it all the way from me because I don't need it there. And he was like, I just got it 3 hours ago, dude. What do you expect? And I'm like, sweet, I'll play. And then we just went. Yeah. So,
I'll tell you what,
I'll get more stories from you guys. I want to let Tina. Okay. I'm sure she's itching to ask.
Yeah, I'm itching.
Okay. I got stories for you. We'll
come back to it.
For me, it's super nice because I'm an Indiana girl. I was born and raised here. I'm a California girl at heart. Genetically, I'm from California. My family came here before I was born, and I've lived in California. I love California. But you are my neighbors. And so when I was flipping through and when I come across the band, I kind of check them out a little bit, and I saw you guys are from Michigan. So yay, my Michigan friends and neighbors, first of all. But I want to know a little bit about you guys as far as like, how did you meet? Okay. So I want you to ask or answer, how did you meet? How did you get together? And who are, if I were to talk to you individually, who are your influences in music? Like, when did you guys decide to get together and play like genuinely, we're going to do this. We're going to be rock stars.
Man, that's such a great question. Like how you framed it. To start, how we met, I think we were all in bands. I think we were all in bands throughout high school into college and stuff, where we just kind of played with our buddies or anybody that really said that they could play an instrument, right? In college, people came and went, cycled through, you know, it was like a revolving door of people, right? Naturally, which a lot of bands are, but eventually I met Cromer, bass player, through a mutual friend, and then he got in and that was cool. We hit off and that was locked. I think we've been together since what, 16, 17?
Somewhere 17, in that range? Yeah. Yep.
17?
Yeah. Was the original February. Band named the Two Brandons?
No, it wasn't.
Brandon Squared?
I think I've heard that before. I'm not joking. But anyway, so that's how we got hooked up together. We started Autumn Academy in 2019 with another drummer. His name is Andrew. He had some kids and he was like, you know what? That's the band takes a lot of time. So I'm going to have to step away. It was all love. We were like, totally, dude, that's what you want to do. It's like all good. You know, we still message back and forth today. So it's like, it's all good. Jose was in another band and I just shot my shot, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the way to say it.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, do you wanna
did you walk up to him and go, you sure do have pretty eyes?
Yeah. I was like, hey, no, hella good. You should like be behind me at the night. On the drum.
It's exactly how he worded it.
No, it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it was funny because he messaged me years prior and he was like, hey man, like I dig the band. Like, if you want to get together sometime and jam, we should do that. And I was like, no, I don't like jamming.
No.
It's a personal preference. It really wasn't a dig. It wasn't like, no. I don't like this guy or anything. It was just like, I don't jam a lot. If I'm going to get with someone and make music, I'm going to like write a song. I'm going to record something. We're going to try to make a, you know, make some kind of creation out of it, not just sit there and make noises for 4 hours.
Yeah, it was super genuine. It wasn't mean at all by any means.
But then it's funny because it came back years later. I was like, hey, you want to hang out? And he was like, yes. So
without hesitation, I remembered that message all those years ago.
So that's how we met.
So what inspired each of you then? Like who, like what bands were you idolizing as you were coming up through the ages that made you decide you wanted to be rock stars?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah. I like Cromer.
There's just so many bands.
Yeah, yeah. Cromer.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, that's the hard part.
Yeah. I know, like, a lot of bands like Offspring, Avenged Sevenfold, like Deftones. I know I was, like, listening to a lot of them, like... in my years of, you know, learning instruments and stuff. And it was, yeah, I would say like those are some like the bigger three. Definitely maybe less like pick
up. So when you were listening, what made you want to get bass, like pick up the bass and say, I want to be a bass player?
I wanted to learn like as many instruments as I could. And then bass guitar at the time was just one I didn't have. And then it was like, I picked it up and then I was just immediately trying to learn Alice in Chains. And just like, I was trying to learn some Metallica songs. And
hey, you cover wood, you guys, don't you? You cover wood? There you go.
Cromer is an amazing drummer, by the way. Like, really? Amazing drummer.
Interesting. Thank you.
I tell so you
what
that.
What about you, Brandon and Jose? Who were your influences?
You want to go first, Brandon? I have influences and I have inspiration. So
he's breaking it down by category.
Yeah.
Subcategories. That's crazy. Oh, man. I listen to so many bands. It started off, I listened to a ton of Ozzy, Metallica, and Green Day when I was a wee lad. It evolved through the years. Got into Fall Out Boy and, you know, like My Chemical Romance. Nowadays, it's a ton of like Deftones, like a lot of Deftones, unhealthy amounts of Deftones. Love 21 Pilots. I think that to put like one sentence on it, it's just whatever, whenever. As long as it's fun to listen to, you know, like that's the vibe. I love headbanging. I love singing along. You know, I'll be screaming in the car to Deftones and I'll be singing Bohemian Rhapsody next if that's on the playlist. You know.
Fantastic. All right, Jose, we're finally to you.
Oh, well.
Yeah, time to think about it.
Should I give you influences or should I give you...
I'm on both.
You on both? Okay. So, I mean, inspirations, a lot of... I didn't really start listening to rock music like, you know, even old rock music. I didn't really start listening to a lot of it until around like my high school years. Probably, I don't know, mid high school years was I really listening to rock like that. But I mean, a lot of the bands I would have to say is like bands like Tool. There's a lot of the drummers I was listening to at the time, which would have been like Eric Imprada from Fever 333 and Neil Peart from Rush. And I listened to a lot more old bands in that time when I was, you know, in high school. I didn't actually pick up the drums until I graduated high school. So probably about maybe 20, a little bit after high school, about 20, I picked up the drums. But wow. My influences are from like friends of mine who started playing the drums, and I seen how serious they took it, and it was really cool to watch them play, and just love the instrument, even as a hobby or as something they really wanted to pursue. That's actually how me and Brandon even came to have a lot of our, you know, person-to-person conversations, was having a mutual friend that was one of the influences for me even playing the drums or even trying to pursue a path to music. My really good friend, Austin, his stepdad, played in a band locally around here for like 20 years. And so he got me influenced into playing music. My buddy Austin did. Our mutual friend who passed some years ago, Patrick, and then my buddy JT, a lot of them influenced me to play music. And then, I didn't really growing up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I wanted to, there's two things I want to do, which leads into the next song. I wanted to come back to Cromer because you mentioned Alice in Chains, and, you know, Mike Starr was the bassist during Dirt, which is Wood, which is really fascinating because when you think of Dirt, you think of Cantrell's guitar. But when you get to Wood, that is all starts with Mike Starr's bass.
Okay.
So I thought it was really cool that you said that that was an influence, because that bass line is sick, right? Oh, yeah. It's an animal. Well, the next song I want to feature you guys that I love from you is For the First Time. Now, I don't know if that is a tie-in to what you were just talking about, but A. Perdomo was also on this as a vocalist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's some laughter here. Is there something about this song?
It's just really cool, man. I think we talked about it just a couple minutes ago, but we've done a couple of interviews lately, and usually people just talk about the most recent songs.
To your point, let me play the clip here. This really is the vocal part of it that I want to talk about. I mean, AJ's in this. He's in a band called Dangerous Summer, right? The Dangerous Summer. Great vocalist, and your harmonies at the end are great. But in the first verse, it's your vocal that, oh my God, it's so good. It's like,
isn't he amazing?
You know what? Who's the, what's that?
Isn't he amazing?
Well, a lot of times, is it Adam from 3 Days Grace? That his name, Adam? Mm-hmm. See, to me, like that, your vocal here is a song that should be like, when people talk about Breaking Benjamin or 3 Days Grace, like you should be in that category. That's your vocal here. It should be mainstream alternative rock with this track. I mean, my God, I was floored by it. I'm going to play it now. This is...
You were full of life, now I'm just alive. 20-something years, it just seemed to fly. Who am I talking to?
God, that vocal right there when you come, you're like, oh, right up and down the arms, man. Is that Jose and Cromer? Do you get that when you hear that song? My God.
It's incredible. I get it. When I first joined, I made it a point to go through the discography for the band, just to kind of get, you know, kind of acquainted to the sound and how they are as musicians. And the album Pearlescent, I mean, there was a lot of the songs that did that to me when I was listening to that album. I mean, a lot of the songs. Yeah. So I would say yes, definitely. For the first time, I actually really like. I really like it, and that's kind of why I was laughing in the beginning when you mentioned it.
It's a gorgeous song. It's a beautiful ballad song. It's a ballad that kills. It's amazing. Seriously, it's amazing. And that's what I mean. Like, that's the type of song, like live, or if I was an A&R guy and I heard that, I'd be like, okay, there's the radio single, right? That vocal right there when it kicks in is like, that should be everywhere. That's one of those songs. So
thank you, Don. I'm glad you like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Tina. Your turn.
So this time I'm going to introduce you guys, and you may have, if you watched any of our videos, we play a song story game. It's actually a game that belongs to Press Play. It's one of those coffee table games. I'm going to send each of you one. But we're going to ask some questions, just some random draw card questions. And I'd like the answer from each of you individually. Okay. Are you ready?
Okay.
The first question is, what is the ultimate slow dance song?
Go ahead, Cromer.
Oh, it's ahead, like Cromer. The first one that popped in my head was like, I hear like Faithfully by Journey a lot, like for like slow dances. So it's, like, it's kind of like a big one I hear.
That is a good one.
I think How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees is one.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, dude, what a thief. I would have chose that.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
BG's, so
yeah.
Funny, I see your eyes in the morning sun. It's, well, you know why that song, just real quick, I don't mean to go on a tangent, but I watched the BG special, and how Barry Gibb wrote that song is that there was a light coming through the room.
Yep.
And he wrote that just as he was looking at the light.
Yep, I watched the same one. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I got goosebumps knowing, like, when a songwriter creates and they're just inspired by, like, one thing, mm-hmm. which has happened to me.
A beam of light, yeah.
I had a lights flickered at a restaurant once, an Outback Steakhouse. And they flickered, and I asked the server to bring me a napkin and a pen, and I actually wrote out a song in like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Lyrics because of the lights. That's what I mean. It hits like a lightning strike. You got to go, right?
Don, we don't want to hear from you. I want to hear their answers.
You asked me a question.
I know I did.
Go ahead, you too.
There's anything that we need, it's connection, especially in the world that we live in today, which is exactly the reason why we created these cards. The song story game. We sit and we talk to artists all the time about the stories behind the songs, the story behind the songs that they loved when they were growing up. And so we put together a game that you can own now and put it on your coffee table. And there's a few different ways you can play it. You can play it just as a conversation starter. You can play it with couples and besties for points, or you can play it in a team setting. Three different ways you can have a lot of fun talking about music. One of my favorite ways to play it is to actually answer the question, give a little detail, and then play the song. This game could go on for hours. It's entirely up to you, but get yours today at pressplay.me.
How Deep Is Your Love is definitely, that would probably be the one that I would gravitate to for a slow dance.
How about you, Brandon?
Oh, I immediately thought about back at prom when I first danced with M'Lady. I think I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, Aerosmith. That was...
Oh, good one. Good one. My favorite is Moments in Love by Art of Noise.
Ooh, I'd have to listen to this. I don't even know this.
Oh, look it up, boys. You'll love it.
Okay.
One more, and then we go to the next song. Are you guys ready? Yes. You want to look up Moments in Love by Art of Noise? Okay, so the answer to this one could be a band. Like, you got to think of the first band or whatever it is. It could be a song that you were connected to. But what was moving through the speakers of your first car?
10 years.
10 years.
Maybe.
Of your first car?
All I can remember is I had a red Eclipse. I loved it. And I remember I used to listen to 10 Years like so much, and maybe my sophomore or junior year of high school. I can't remember, but that's the first one that comes to mind right off the bat.
Perfect. Jose?
Crazy. Mine would be Can You Feel My Heart by Bring Me the Horizon. That was probably the first song speakers of mine.
You're getting down to the song too.
Holy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I almost want to say the same thing. I think that album actually was like the first album I got with my first car. Yeah, I think I was just playing that for a long time.
Yeah, I was on a binge like with that album. I had a red Cadillac. It was a Concourse. It was a 98, 97 or something, and it was super beat up. I got it for $500.
Yeah,
but the party wagon. I had to take with the auxiliary cable off the end, put it in, plug my phone, and I was listening to Septum.
Fantastic. I love that story.
We're going to get into another one of your songs. We're getting midway through your catalog. And here we go. Your vocal you hit that one note up, you're like, oh, the drumming and bass, the production on this, you could tell by here. I love the production on this song. That was sounded so good.
Yeah, the video is pretty badass too. Who's doing your video work?
That was Juan Ibanez out of St. Louis.
Fantastic.
Tina, you were talking to me beforehand, and I figured this would be a great question about AI. So why don't you, about recording?
Everybody's about AI right now, about the question.
Yeah. Well, no, recording process.
Yeah. Well, in the recording process, my question for you as a band, with the AI movement coming out, how much AI are you using in your music? And if none or very little, how do you feel about the AI music movement?
It's about AI. Well, I guess, Brandon, Jose, if you want to actually tell your side.
Mine's not so much a side as it is just kind of a perspective on it. I think when we mention AI, we kind of single it out to one thing and we don't kind of open up the door to what AI actually is and what it can be applied to and what has already been applied to for so long. You know, things like your phone is even AI. So, you know, using your phone to listen to another song that you're not going to get anywhere else but on your phone to listen for a point of reference to write music or, you know, even find inspiration on. There's a lot of things out there right now that technology has already, there's already been some form of AI kind of in place for you to utilize to create. I mean, even engineering software, there's a lot of that software that's just intelligent on its own due to the, you know, the programming of it. And it's self-sustainable. That's the point of artificial intelligence, I think, is this, the sustainability of having that in one place and then you just being able to kind of utilize whatever. So I think the perspective I have is that as the world kind of continues and we start to advance in technology, there's, you're really not going to have a point where you're not using it. I won't say that we use AI to create music. I think that would be wrong. We don't use AI, you know, to create music at all. Now, you know, as far as like, okay, what's a synonym for this word that we're trying to find, you know, lyrically? Yes, there will be a time where we do that. I mean, that's, it's no different than going to rhymezone.com to find a word that rhymes with something. Yeah.
Or no different than using a pedal.
Yeah, there's a lot of, so I think, you know, we kind of use AI as a, you know, a single thing when really AI is just a blanket term versus, you know, over a lot of things that are used. Yeah. So that my perspective is that I guess yes and no, but not to create music, no. We might use it for inspiration for certain things, but I don't think it would ever come down to being able to write.
Yeah, I think that's the key, is that inspiration is the centerpiece of where our opinion lies. It should be used for just thinking of new ideas, maybe. Well, we were just talking about this a little bit earlier. So really, it's just like going ChatGPT, what rhymes with water? You know, I don't know. I can't think off the top of my head right now. So it'll give me like 20 examples, right? And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, what are, like, can you make some like generic cool lines? It'll throw some cool words at me. Then it'll say like something about venom in the water. I'm like, oh, venom. So like poison. And then I start thinking about like poison lines. And, you know, it's like, it just rolls, right? We're not the type of band that is just going to go on Suno, which is like the song generator, and I'll just sit there all day and try to come up with cool stuff. And hopefully something sounds cool. And we're like, all right, great, post it. You know, that's not fun for us. Maybe it is for some people, but for us, like,
and I think that's what I was asking, like, how do you feel about the people who are sitting there generating music on Suno and they're not actually playing an instrument or writing lyrics or thinking of a melody? They're just saying, hey, write me a song about a tree and make it in the style of so-and-so. And they're popping out music and then just uploading it to Spotify. And
I think it sucks that platforms like that allow music to become top charted like that. Because if my memory serves me correctly, Spotify already has issues with paying out bands, you know, the streaming amounts that they're rightfully deserve. And I think it's kind of, I think it's BS that the bands who are not even a band are, you know, topping the charts and having, you know, these millions and millions of streams that you might as well just put, I think if you're going to put AI in and it's AI generated and they know that, then you should just put bots behind all the listeners who are streaming it. You know, don't, you know, anybody, don't allow those streams from, you know, actual people to really count.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, I would consider them almost as much of the problem if the AI is like topping it like that for them.
And if I could add one more thing to that, Cromer, I want you to answer with your opinion too. I don't want to take that away from you, but on the flip side of this, Suno can be a great tool for people that don't have a band, that don't have a lot of musical ability, but they want to try. That's a completely different story. I know when I started playing guitar when I was 11, if I wanted to try to make something, but I couldn't play super well, I definitely didn't have a drummer, I definitely couldn't sing, you know, all that stuff. Suno is a fantastic way to just put something in and get something back out and feel like you're creating something. And I think that is such a good tool for young people, up and coming artists, to be able to experiment with and figure out what they like, because they probably don't even know what they really like at that point. They just know that they like music, period. You know, so I think those kids out there that get to experiment with these cool platforms are going to develop into great musicians one day. And I don't like the idea of saying AI as a blanket term is bad, because it could discourage them from creating some really, really great stuff that genuinely impacts them on an emotional level. So I think we should be careful about it, but obviously, you know, don't be lazy. Make your shit, you know, let's go.
I hate AI. Stupid.
There you go.
Your answer?
Got it.
Fucking stupid.
From the mouths of babes.
That's all you need
to
say.
Fine.
You know, it's interesting because we were talking about somebody Tina knows sent music to her and like, wow, this sounds really good, right? But they used it for the production part of it, you know, to clean it up. And you know, there's a thing that, because, you and I can hear it coming in, the robot. Let's mute out for a second. I had to play a song anyway in a second. But it's interesting that, to me, a lot of fun with recording is the mistakes that are made or left in. I don't want something completely polished. I want... case in point, and Newfound Glory has a song called On My Mind. You're always on my mind. There's a part where Chad, with the guitar, it just sounds so cool the way he does it, that maybe the AI may pick it up and go, oh, I'm taking that out because it's not perfect. It's kind of not fitting in nicely. But to me, it's incredible. I interviewed a band a long time ago from Orlando, and they called it a beautiful mistake when the guitar started playing the outro chorus when it was really supposed to be, and it sounded wonky, but they left it in. Now, AI might have picked that up and cleaned it up, and we wouldn't get that. And yet, that was like my favorite part of the song. So I think it's a dangerous thing to just allow it to just say, I want to make a perfect sounding song, when there's nuances in there that you got to leave in for the human element. For someone like me that looks forward to the imperfection, if you will. So there you go. Well, next song that we're gonna play, there's two left. This one blew me away. This is one of those that blew me away.
I just wanted to let you know before you move forward that so far the songs that you've played, all right, I have not drummed on a single one of those tracks. That was all. That's all the previous drummer, who's an amazing, his name is Andrew. He's the one he was speaking about earlier, who left on great terms. But he's an amazing drummer. And so I have to live up to that skill level, by the way.
Right. Okay. Well, maybe you played on this one. This is, I love this song. It could be my favorite of yours to date. So we're going to play it right now. I'm not who I'm supposed to be. Yeah, it was Cromer that was drumming.
Yeah. No, just kidding.
It was me all along.
He's behind.
That song, well, let me just tell you, that song, I am a fan of breakdowns. Okay. And you mentioned metalcore or things like that. Like newer bands, even like Sleep Theory, that have become really popular. I found another band that was given to me. I guess other people have known about it. Yeah. President.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holy shit. Their new song, Angel Wings. That breakdown is like, holy. So that song, I love that breakdown.
Nice.
in your song.
Thank you.
That was me drumming.
Well, thank you.
So.
But what a song. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. From the melody to the breakdown. I mean, that's just a complete song. That's why I was just like, oh my. And the video is amazing.
Thank you.
Who is the producer of that video?
That was also director? Juan Ibanez from St. Louis.
That dude. Yeah, he's good.
That was the first song that I got a chance to write with the band right when I joined. So
that was the song that we started.
The first video with us, too.
The first night you came over.
Yeah.
I remember specifically Cromer was playing something on bass, what's now the intro piano. He was messing around with that on the bass. He just kept playing it over and over again. And this is how songs just happen. I'm like, that sounds cool. Well, what are the notes that you're playing? You know, make it a piano, make it like an atmospheric piano. And that's the exact sound that we picked. And right from there, it was just boom. Like that was it, you know? And then we just put it together piece by piece. It's a big puzzle. That's fun.
That's fantastic.
That's like when I had the band Europe on and I had Mick, the keyboard player, you know, Final Countdown guy. Yeah, but they have a song, Carrie. And he was telling me that he was just sitting down playing that bling, 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 that very beginning part. And Joey Tempest walked in and went, oh, keep doing that. And then they wrote Carrie based on him just going bling, 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 like just that part right there. So that's how it happens.
They probably don't even know that song, but I had a girlfriend in school. Her name was Carrie. And every time I hear that song,
she's nice. Like,
hope you liked her. Yeah. All right, Tina, your turn. We got one more song left. One more song left.
I got one more song story question.
Let's do it.
Okay. Each one of you get to answer this one too. What was the first album or song of your generation that you purchased with your own money?
I remember my last one. I can't remember my first one.
My first one.
I'm taking you back.
That's a...
You're like, Mom, I got to have this. Come on,
with my own money. Right.
Yeah, I mean, your mom could have given you the money, but you like were like, "I have to have 3 days Grace
1X." That was the first one that I bought.
Nice.
What's the big song on that record?
Animal I've Become.
Animal I've Become. Riot. Never Too Late.
Yeah. I love it.
I love that Animal I've Become. I love that song.
I just did that not too long ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Love it. But yeah.
What was the last song you said you just bought an album, Brandon? What
the
was
last it? Album I ever bought, the last CD, I guess I should say, because we're talking about CDs, right?
CD or
any record.
If you bought a cassette, that's wild.
No, I didn't buy it. I'm making the play it on. I guess, the last CD was Hardwired to Self-Destruct by Metallica when that dropped. Last album in general, I think it was a 21 Pilots vinyl. Some years ago, I think it was Blurry Face.
Nice. It's a good one.
And I can't remember my first one. I mean, I used to listen to a ton of Guns N' Roses. I had their Greatest Hits CD, and I think I listened to that a bunch. That was like my first one that I had, you know? I guess if you want to say I had it. But.
Gotcha. Well, it's kind of close. How about you, Cromer?
I'm trying to think. Honestly, first CD or something, it's probably Kidz Bop or some shit, something really stupid. But the one that I remember the most, it was actually an Offspring's Greatest Hits CD. That was a CD that I learned how to play drums to. That was kind of I freaked out my first drum kit and I threw that CD on, learned every song on there.
Heck yeah.
I was listening to Ixnay on the Ombre just the other day.
It has a pretty fly for a white guy on it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get a job? Is get a job on that too?
No, I don't think that get a job's on that one. But okay, back to
anyway. So the third, by the way, I don't think I mentioned that the third track I played tonight was Another Tomorrow, and the last one was Reset. Just so everybody knows. Now we're gonna get into the latest single. Again, a great tune, and we're gonna cover here. Burning Up is the song. And we're going to burn up right now. This is, fasten your seatbelts, everybody. This is Burning Up. What a friggin' song. That breakdown. I told you, breakdowns. Holy shit. Did I see Cromer come in there singing for a second? Did you scream Cromer?
Yeah.
It's all Cromer.
Yeah, you were screaming all right. That hair is awesome. Too bad we can't
Thank
see
you.
It. Too bad we can't see it, man. A lot of conditioner, right? A lot of conditioner. You have to.
Well, yeah, definitely. Good quality conditioner. Man, for sure.
Man.
Tell us about that song. What is the story behind that song?
Controversial one, but there is a story nonetheless.
Let's hear it. I know it's controversial. You can tell.
Go ahead, Dan.
Why me?
Give him the sauce.
Man, I get pissed off really bad. There are a lot of people out there that take advantage of others. We were talking, I mean, we talk often about like cult leaders. There are some particular individuals that play this messiah kind of role, and people follow them, and they just want their money. They want all sorts of things from them. In particular, this song, what really got me going was just seeing like mega church pastors when they're like doing their thing, you know, and they're like, give us money. It's for the Lord, you know, and then they fly away in their private jet. All these people are having a hard time living their life, but they just want to be genuine in their religion and they're trying their best, but people are just taking advantage of that. And nothing pisses me off more because I think it's the most disgusting thing aside from the Epstein stuff, I guess. Not to get weird and like derail the conversation. Obviously that's worse, but like taking advantage of people monetarily like that in the name of religion, it's dirty, man. It's really
well. The great irony in that is that the only time biblically documented where Jesus flipped his lid was the money changers in the temple. They were profiting off his dad, and he got pissed and flipped tables over and stuff. So it's kind of an interesting thing that in today's world, the very thing that made him pissed off is what they're doing.
It's horrible.
I mean,
yeah, that's
horrible. Don't you read it? Don't you read what you're?
Yeah,
my God,
yeah, it's just when you see the you know the headline like, oh, so and so just got his fourth private jet. It's like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, that sucks.
Well, you guys, before some of these the mega church people, like there was what was that one called, the 700 Club, right?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. They might know about the 700 Club.
Do you guys know that 700 Club? Tammy Faye Baker and Jim Baker?
Well, yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
So that was a big deal, like growing up, that they were the big deal, right? They were the mega church TV thing. And it wound up the corruption. Jimmy Swaggart was another one. like TV yeah, evangelist guys. The corruption.
There's a few documentaries on them too, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Right. So it's just, you know, and that's a song that I go, yeah. And you can feel that breakdown.
It's you that have the same problem.
Yeah, it was like, yes. It was really funny coming up with when we were all writing the lyrics to that. It was actually really funny because you're like, I think in the beginning we just had the verse, right? We only just have the verse to start. And we were like,
yeah.
And then I think we hit the chorus too, but it was like coming up with that second verse. Cromer hit the nail right on top with the hammer for that second verse. That was such a.
You wrote that, Cromer? That was you?
I guess. I don't remember.
You wrote that.
Everything blends in together sometimes.
If I'm not mistaken, if he didn't write all of it, he definitely wrote a majority. I do remember that.
Wear a smile on your face. Monetizing grace till it's gone.
Yeah, he did. I'm pretty sure he did. Because he came down with the piece of paper and he was like,
what do you think?
It's super fun writing songs because we bounce everything off each other. The last song that we recorded that's not out yet, you should have been there. Or if we had pictures or something, we would laugh. So many pages, so many physical pages where, you know, he writes in pen, and we had an open Google Doc where we would all just join in and like put a line here, put a line there. And we just had this huge thing on our phone. He had a bunch of pages all over and we're like, I don't know, just pick one, you know? Like,
yeah.
We have so many lines.
I literally have 5 pages full. From top of the line to the bottom, notebook, you know, ruler thing, 5 of them, just full of lyrics for one song.
You guys have a lot to say, is what you're saying.
Well, it's just, you know, how you say it, what you want to convey. You know, there's a lot of different ways to say things, right? But there's not a lot of ways to say it cool.
And also, a listener is opening themselves up emotionally to receive the message that we're putting out to them. And we want to make sure that it is the most respectful and honest version of the message that we can give them. Mm-hmm. And we take it very seriously. We're not just going to put anything out there like, oh, okay, it fits. And it almost rhymes, like, whatever, just do it. It's fine. Cool. Whatever. Go. No. We're going to brew on that. We're going to make sure every single line, we could each tell a story about that.
Yeah.
No problem.
Each song and its lyrics has a meaning, that's for sure.
I love that.
Well, you guys are incredible. I just wanted to say this before we wrap up and do our little thing here. I got your – it's very important because you're coming – I'm looking at your shows, right? You've got – oh, no, that's 2025.
Oh, are you on our website?
You don't have it? Yeah.
Ours is still being updated because we actually have we just got booked with a talent agency, so we're be getting our show updated. So,
gotcha. Okay, because last year you were in Tina's hometown.
So. Yes, I know, and I missed him like by a weekend or something. I was like, hometown. Really?
Fort Wayne.
Yeah,
you guys are in Fort Wayne.
Yeah, Pierre's stance room.
I'm sure we'll get back there. If so, then we'll definitely send you a message.
You played with 12 Stones, which at one show.
We played a couple shows with 12 Stones.
We played with them at the Forge and Illinois.
And then we played out Sioux Falls with them.
Yeah.
I wonder how much money he made just for doing that Evanescence.
That's a very interesting. You know, we picked his brain about that when we were on tour. I was like, dude, so
cringe.
Like, how'd you do it? He's like, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. And then. We were all going to get coffee that day, and his bassist and us, we just like went and grabbed some coffee. And went to Scooter's coffee place and came back, and then we gave Paul his nickname Pumpkin Paul because he wanted a pumpkin latte. And then I just had to like, I was like, dude, so how did you do the Evanescence thing, man? I was like, how'd you do all that? And he gave us the lowdown. And it's a very long story. I'm not sure I feel comfortable elaborating on everything that happened, but
12 Stones will be coming on soon again. So it is a question I'm going to broach only just because it's fascinating. Because that song right now on YouTube is 1.6 billion.
Yeah, literally a seven.
Yeah. Dang.
1.6 billion of Bring Me Back to Life. Bring Me Back to Life. What a song. But Paul McCoy, I'll tell you what, anybody out there, go check out Adrenaline. That song will get you moving, man. I use that for my workouts. Adrenaline it's a religious song because they were started off as a religious band. I don't know if they still are, but anyway, thank you guys. You guys are amazing. As I said, we featured 5 tracks. We're going to, when you get more songs out, we want you back if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to know where your fans can find, or where, like, people that are going to watch this that don't even know you exist, where can they find out more about you?
Wow. That's actually a great question. Aside from the socials, obviously, anywhere on our socials, most of our socials are, our handle is Autumn Academy. I think we're like one of the only bands in the country that have that name. So if not the only band in the country that have that name. So it's pretty easy to find us. Instagram, Facebook, on TikTok. That's where we met you. And all of our music's on most, if not all, the major music streaming platforms. Mm. Aside from SoundCloud, not on there.
And we're about to update our site, autumnacademy.com, with a bunch of show days. So if you happen to like our music and you want to catch us live, then you can check the website soon. It'll be all up there.
Yes.
Before we go, as a little overtime, I just got to ask. I'm going to ask a cliche question, but how did Autumn Academy come out? Oh,
man, that's a great question. So Autumn, favorite season, love fall vibes when it gets down to 60 degrees and you can just wear like a sweater and with the leaves are falling. Everything is beautiful. The sunset with the brown leaves. Perfect. Beautiful. Love it.
Smell of
and we like alliteration. We were like, man, autumn is cool. I think for a minute we were bouncing back and forth between autumn and August, but like autumn just felt more correct. And I think Cromer was like, you know, academy is a cool word. I don't see a lot of bands using it. I think there's like maybe one or two bands that we could think of off the top of our head.
Yeah. The academy is.
I know we're like, when we're first like coming up with the name, we're jumping around a lot on like band name generator. Huh.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And when we had Autumn, we definitely wanted to use it. And I think Academy popped up and we're just like,
Academy alliteration, boom, boom, easy. One. Yeah.
Two A's. Mm-hmm. You show up near the top of any sort.
Right. Big brain move.
Smart. Like when you're Dan Zebra, like, what are you thinking, guys? You're like, Zebra. Great band. But anyway, so again, thank you guys. And we'll be back again. You guys sit tight. We're going to have you record a little radio spot. And then Tina's going to wrap up things with you. But everybody else, thank you for watching. And we'll be back with another episode. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.